The latest volume of Paddy Woodworth's Naturalist Bookshelf, this time on Culturefile. From his very real shelves of essential nature writing, you might be amazed to learn that there's one type of book that Paddy has not, up to this very moment, taken down and offered to us, as he explains this time on the Naturalist Bookshelf.
We've taken nearly 40 volumes down from our Naturalist Bookshelf to celebrate them on Culturefile over the last 5 years. But as I reorganised my little library recently, I realised there was one entire group, my bird guides, that remained untouched. Yet their very worn spines bear witness to the number of times I have used them over many, many years. Bird guides are essential, of course, for learning identification skills. But they also serve as armchair magic carpets, carrying us to birds so rare or so remotely located that we are most unlikely to encounter them in the flesh. I still remember warmly the joys of perusing the pages, and especially the images, of the Observer's Book of Birds, published in 1937 and very easily fitted into a child's pocket. This little gem was compiled by a Miss S. Vere Benson, Honorary Secretary of the Bird Lovers League. Her language was sometimes as floral and sentimental as her title, but engaging and informative nonetheless. The images were little bigger than postage stamps, and yet they were miniatures of the majestic work of the great Victorian nature artist, Archibald Thorburn. He was uncannily accurate in his portrayals, but he also showed most species in evocative vistas of their natural habitats. I especially recall his image of red kites roosting in a misty tree. The text described this magnificent bird of prey as having been reduced to a few locations in Wales, so the portrait seemed to exude a lonely path to extinction. I could not have imagined that this bird would be restored not only to much of Britain, but also to my native Wicklow in the 2000s. I can now easily find dozens roosting collectively near Arklow Village. Some things do get better. I've long lost, or rashly lent, that book, but I still get great pleasure from the rather larger Thorburn reproductions in the three-volume 1920 Handy Pocket Guide to British Birds and Their Eggs, with its chatty but comprehensive texts by T.A. Coward. His prose is replete with rare but precise adjectives like vinaceous, coloured like red wine, and vermiculated, where the plumage is felt to recall the patterns made by tiny worms on sand. These books also went missing from my childhood collection somehow, but I happily rediscovered all of them in a second-hand bookshop at the Hay-on-Wye Literary Festival quite recently. The most battered guide on my shelves is undoubtedly Roger Peterson's classic 1954 Collins Guide to the Birds of Britain and Europe. Peterson marries terse scientific descriptions with images that lack any of Thorburn's rich context and romantic aura, but they have a sharper precision that matched the increase in the quality and accessibility of binoculars and telescopes to bird watchers after the Second World War. It also moved us away from the parochialism of these islands to cover the bird life of Europe, from Iceland to the Urals, opening up hundreds of new species to the reader's imagination. One page in particular captured my youthful fantasies. A plate led by three exotic and brilliantly plumaged beauties that seemed as unlikely as unicorns. The bee-eater, with its bejewelled plumage, the roller, with its vivid azure blues, and the spectacularly crested hoopoe. Again, I can hardly believe my luck when I now visit countries where all three are as common and accessible as blackbirds in an Irish garden. Peterson used a simple, distinctive illustrational device to great effect, little pointers that drew attention to the field marks that distinguish one species from another. His guide would be the European Birdwatcher's Bible for half a century, until it was superseded definitively by another masterpiece at the end of 1999. The prose in this simply titled Bird Guide by Lars Svensson is both more compressed and more detailed than the Peterson Guide, but it is the illustrations, most of them by Irishman Killian Mullarney, that lift his work to a new level of luminous clarity. The plates cover a breathtaking range of detailed variations in subspecies and in age-specific plumages, especially for gulls and birds of prey. That may be a bit technical for some, but Mullarney's particular triumph is to include for many of the species vignettes that show the bird rather less distinctly at greater distances in typical habitat. Only a powerful telescope can show up many of the subtle features he shows in the detailed portraits of individual birds. But his vignettes serve the viewer using the naked eye or average binoculars very well, plus adding something of Thorburn's atmospherics to the book. The Collins Guide is now available as an app, complete with videos and audio of bird calls. But all these books, in their distinctive ways, have given me extraordinary joy over the decades and have taught me so much about so many birds. Small wonder they take up so much space on my bookshelves. I still take each one down with awe and wonder.
Paddy Woodworth there with some choice volumes for the Naturalist bookshelf, and Paddy mentioned there the work of illustrators such as Killian Mullarney, who will be one of the Irish nature artists who'll join us on the Culture File panel at this year's Dublin Book Festival, which runs from the 6th to the 10th of November. Keep an eye out on dublinbookfestival.com for more details on that, as well as on our other Culture File debate sessions at the festival. More about all of that in the coming weeks.